Hey everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie, I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening live, it is the 21st of April at about 11 a.m. Pacific time. Pardon me, if you're listening to an archive or a replay, I also want to welcome you to the show. Oh, I want to let you know that you can find us in the chat room by heading over to 12radio.com. Click on the chat button and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. I also want to let you know that I am live streaming this event, and you can find that by heading over to YouTube or Facebook. Just look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic and you'll find the live stream. So lots of ways to listen. I have my eyes on all of the chat rooms and comment threads. So if you are in either of the lives and commenting, I see them. If you are in the chat room and commenting, I see that too. So we should be able to connect. I was going to say one way or the other, but I guess every way or the other. So how's it going? How did that new moon feel? The new moon was last Friday or Saturday, right in there. And it put me to bed. I just felt tired, like so tired. That's not a new effect for me though, but that's kind of how it hit me. Though hearing from clients that it made them feel more intense, really intense on dealing with situations in their lives that needed to have more attention, things like that. So that seems to be the way it went down for a lot of people. Alrighty, well, I have some stuff out of the kiln to show you. Some mugs. So, hopefully, sometimes it's hard to show, but. So, this is a set of these cool little mugs. There's two of them. It's kind of a funny thing because when you glaze stuff, like you get it very excited about all the glaze patterns and stuff. And other people looking are probably like, okay. But these are just really cool. The glaze pattern in these or the glaze combo is really interesting and I just love them. Aren't they pretty? But I also added, and I think you're going to struggle to see it because of the ring light. Oh, you can kind of see them. There you go. Can you see the little gold dots? I added a little bit of gold luster just to put up a few little dots on them that are just cute. So they're a set and they'll be on Etsy probably tomorrow. I wanted to say today, but my expectations on myself might be a little too high. I put a kiln for sale that I'm not using on Marketplace, and my God, that has occupied like my whole life. And from that, I managed selling that kiln and another one that we decided we didn't want to keep. We don't need eight kilns. We do not need eight kilns. That's what I'm trying to re drive into my own head. But anyway, that has been between conversations with people online, taking more measurements, more pictures, making plans with people to come who don't come, talking to people who want to trade you for things that you don't want. Man, selling stuff on Marketplace is like a full-time job. Anyway, the other mugs are all blue jeans. They're little pairs of pants. Look at the butt. Are those cute? So, and then I added the gold luster on the buttons as well. So there's two that are like this glaze. I just love them. I just think these are so freaking cute. I also have a mold for a bowl. We poured one. I'm going to do it and see if we like it. But it matches these. This is like a big cereal bowl or well, it's a mug, but it's like it'd be like a soup mug or a cereal bowl, I think. That's how I would use it. And then this one's a little bit different glaze. But it also has all the little buttons done in gold. Aren't these cute? I'm in love. I'm in love. Hey, Quelly. So, anyway, that's part of what I've been working on. The other part is a local lady that hired me to do cups for her daughter's graduation. This is kind of fun. Jane says that's the size butt she wants in her next life. Jane, you can have it right now. It's right here. These cups are kind of fun and interesting. So this is what the cups look like. This one's just got a bunch of my practicing on it because she wants these to be glazed in her daughter's high school colors. So they're going to be white and purple and black. But she also wants her daughter's name on the cup. So that's an interesting challenge for me because my fine motor skills, as well as just my handwriting, aren't good enough for me to just freehand on the cups. I tried. It looked dumb as hell. So we figured out, Scott's such a genius. He figured out how to, we knew we could do this. It's just figuring out all the programming of everything, but how to make a stamp out of foam on our laser. So he made me a stamp. So now the names will look like that. That's the font. So now I just have to paint the stamp with my glaze and just roll it over it, and I've got my stamp. So that's kind of fun, learning new things, you know. But now I feel like now that we've mastered how to do an underglaze stamp like this, that yeah, I can take over the world now. I'm going to be unstoppable. So now you know. But the funner thing, she brought me an enormous box of these cups. I don't even know where these came from. She said her friend gave them to her. I don't know who threw these, where they came from at all. But she needs 30, and there's probably 60 in the box. So she said, I don't need the rest of them for anything, so you can throw them away or keep them and use them or whatever. Girl, I will keep them and use them. I'm going to have a blast with these. So that's fun too. Cups I didn't even have to make. Now I can just glaze them and have fun with them. So that's kind of fun. So that's pretty much what's going on in my world, in the creative world of let's just say in my brain, right? I don't know if it's it's more of a scary place to be than anything, probably. But I'm going to shut my door. Those dogs are barking. The house across the street sat empty for a couple of years. And so I think the dogs got really used to there being nobody over there. But then last summer it sold, and some people were renovating it, so they were in and out quite a bit. Now they're there. And I think maybe they have tenants in their basement. So there's a lot of cars that are coming and going, which is fine, totally their prerogative. But oh my God, do my dogs hate it. They spend all their time sitting in the window letting me know what the neighbors are doing now. And worse, they have two little kids and they have one of those ride-on Jeep things that has a remote control. So they put their kids in that and drive it down the driveway and head down the road. You would think that Godzilla is in the driveway, the way these dogs are acting. I keep hoping we're going to get used to that, but so far, they are highly affronted by people living in their house and operating on their own yard. And, you know, how could they? All righty. Well, let's get to it. We went to Boise over the weekend to see the kids, and that was good. My niece Mia is getting married in a couple of months. And so my girls are her bridesmaids, and they're in charge of the bachelorette party. You guys, the way these younger weddings are going, oh my God. They are also the bridesmaids to a dear friend of theirs coming up in the fall, and it's pretty much the same. Micah is also a groomsman in both of these weddings. So, holy shit, they are making the case for elopement. No offense to Mia. She's doing a beautiful job. She's going to be a beautiful bride. It's going to be great. But for the bachelorette party, every day has a different theme, and those themes have to be dressed for. So they put on a whole fashion show of the night that they're doing is Bling Before the Ring, where they're all wearing sparkly dresses and going out to the bars in downtown Boise, which is kind of a bougie thing for kids who haven't gotten to do it before, I guess. But so they needed, of course, dresses for that. And then there's Blue Day, something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue, I guess. So they had to have blue outfits for that. And there was another night that they are watching Mamma Mia and having Greek food, and they all had to have matching pajamas for that. And oh my God, it is exhausting. Then they had to have a certain kind of dress for the bridal shower. And now listen, they're having a blast with this. They have shopped their asses off. They've got everything set, and they are beautiful in their clothes, and I'm just blown away. It's exhausting. It's insane. But now they'll do this again in the fall for their friend Michaela. Right, Mary? Being in weddings these days for kids is so expensive. Yeah. This is Micah's like third and fourth time being a groomsman. And it has cost him so much money every time in renting a tux. This time they bought suits. So he had to buy a suit. The next one for him, there's some requirement on cowboy boots that he doesn't have, and he'll have to buy boots. What? Elope. Elope. So I guess they're just making memories, and I feel like an old lady that's like kids these days, but good Lord. Here it is. We just showed up in the clothes we had, Not to the wedding, but to parties, and I guess maybe we didn't. I don't know. But I've been a little bit blown away by the whole thing. Right, because then there's also the bachelor parties and the bachelorette parties, and everyone wants to travel and do something. Matt flew to Phoenix for a bachelorette party a few years ago. And got stopped because of something in her carry-on bag that they couldn't identify. It was her bachelorette party gift. It was a big silicone tentacle, if you know what I mean. She had to show that to TSA and be like, it's a bachelorette party gift. And they were like, oh, see ya, goodbye, go ahead. Right, and then standing in cowboy boots if you're not used to them. He wears boots, but yeah, I had the same thought, Jane. He probably ought to buy them early and wear them a little this summer and get used to them. Yeah. Tara said my wedding was only 15 years ago and there were no pre-parties. Yeah. Well, I was a good little Mormon girl when I was engaged, so there was certainly no bachelorette party, y'all. There was a bridal shower that consisted of all of my female relatives, and I remember very succinctly watching my great grandmother, who was in her 80s at the time, laugh herself silly over lingerie that I received. I was horrified. Remember, good little Mormon girl, and I'm receiving racy underwear in front of my grandma, but she loved it. I wanted to die. Laura said, I remember 41 years ago, my dad offered to give us some money if we wanted to elope instead. Right? You can see why. Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting summer for us. I was thinking today about history and archaeology and spiritual beliefs and how they tie together into what we would consider, oop, there we go, intuition or the third eye. There's a very common thread, a shared belief that I find really fascinating. So I did some research and put together some thoughts. So I called this week's magazine The Sacred Pineal Gland. I just thought this would be worth talking about and exploring a little bit. It's pretty interesting stuff. Because in many different cultures and eras, we see a mark on the forehead or, and I'll get into this more, but a shape that is very similar to how the pineal gland looks in the brain. Let me skip through my notes here. So this is, of course, the Buddhist enlightenment symbol. This is the urna on the forehead. It represents spiritual vision and awakening. This is the pre-Columbian and Mesoamerican imagery symbol. This is a Maya. Well, actually, the Mayas and the Aztecs had symbols like this showing a mark on the forehead. And it was believed to be tied to perception, vision, and cosmic awareness. Sorry, I should have organized my notes a little bit better so I didn't have to hunt. But you should be familiar with this symbol. This, of course, is an Egyptian symbol. This is the Eye of Horus. And then also the Eye of Providence. Where have you seen that before? Right? Masonic traditions, literally on our money here in the US. Talking about the Eye of Horus, here's a cross section of the brain. See where the pineal gland is? And the thalamus. Look at how the shape of that mimics the Eye of Horus. And it's why some researchers think that the Eye of Horus was meant to be a copycat of the pineal gland. We've talked a little bit recently about the study of noetics. That's the scientific study of consciousness. And that more and more scientists are believing that consciousness resides in the brain. Some people thought that consciousness was in the heart. That's been a belief that a lot of people have, and there's no right or wrong here. There really isn't. But I find this to be really fascinating, and just all the different looks at the brain. See, that's another peek. So there's a strong belief that ancient cultures believed that maybe the consciousness was in the brain, in the pineal gland, and or the combined belief with the third eye or consciousness in your forehead. I think that's pretty fascinating stuff. So let's get into that a little bit more. So the pineal gland is tiny. It's tucked deep in your brain. It's doing its work. You've been hearing about the pineal gland, probably, in the New Age world. There's lots of beliefs about yoga positions, nutrition, things you could do to decalcify your pineal gland, which has puzzled scientists who said the pineal gland doesn't calcify, or maybe it does. I don't know. I'm not going to talk on that because I don't know. But what we do know is that the pineal gland has been associated with an inner awareness or a point of connection, some kind of a sacred place within your brain, or maybe a link between your brain and your spirit. So, of course, we have the third eye. This is really originates from Hindu belief. The third eye, of course, is the Ajna chakra. It sits between the eyebrows. People frequently see it as purple or indigo, and it's associated with the intuition, clarity, insight, and the ability to see beyond what's directly in front of us. Obviously, the ancients knew that there was something there. Whether they had cut a cross section of the brain and picked something out or not, we don't know. But they knew that something in the center of your forehead was connected to your consciousness in some way. That's obvious. They built entire practices around that belief. So the symbol just keeps reappearing. Of course, we had the Eye of Horus, the Eye of Providence. It's always the eye. I covered in true crime last night. I covered a heist that happened in the Netherlands last year. It was this helmet that was stolen. It was a 2,500-year-old solid gold helmet that had been, it belonged to Romania, and it had belonged to a leader in Romania 2,500 years ago. That's the belief. It was dug up in some kind of an archaeological dig in 1929, so nearly 100 years ago. And last year there was a heist and it was stolen. And it was a big deal. Anyway, it's now been found and the people that stole it are being prosecuted and all that thing, those things are happening. But the helmet itself had big eyes on the top of it. And what I read about that is that the belief was those were eyes to ward off evil eyes. More of that. More eyes. This wasn't a single eye on, the middle of your forehead. It was two eyes. But again, there we are. All right. Philosopher's curiosity. René Descartes believed that the pineal gland was the seat of the soul. He was a scientist and a philosopher in the late 19 or the late 1500s and early 1600s. He had believed that this was the place where the physical body and the non-physical mind connected. Isn't that exactly what we're hearing out of other cultures too? That's what we're hearing out of noetics. Descartes believed that in the 1600s. In yogic traditions, the concept of kundalini, energy that rises through the body, moves upward, passing through every energy center until it reaches the higher centers of awareness. And again, it leads us to the third eye. And then there's DMT. I suspect that we're going to hear a lot more about DMT, both from a scientific perspective and perhaps from a noetic one in coming years, maybe decade. So DMT is a hormone. that your body secretes is called dimethyltryptamine. So we're calling it DMT. DMT is actually a psychedelic compound, and your brain secretes it. There's a belief that the pineal gland is in charge of that. There's not a lot of proof of that yet. This is kind of an ongoing theory that is currently being examined, but the belief is that DMT may produce, sorry, the pineal gland may produce small amounts of DMT. It would be associated with intense spiritual experiences. DMT is found naturally in other parts of the body and in plants, but people that have used DMT report deep meditation, breath work, or experiencing this during deep meditation, breath work, sensory deprivation, intense prayer or spiritual practice, and near-death experiences. That's the kind of response your body may have to higher levels of DMT. So those experiences could include vivid imagery, a sense of expanded awareness, emotional release, feeling deeply connected or tuned in. So modern science is telling us that DMT may very well play a role in getting to these states. It's not the only thing. This is a cocktail of things, right? We also have changes in brainwave status, shifts in oxygen and carbon dioxide levels, activation of different neural networks, and maybe reduced sensory input. So the idea is, in doing your own work, your meditative work, your energy work, your whatever it is you do, maybe it's Tai Chi or Qigong, yoga, some kind of movement, whatever it is that you do to calm your brain, maybe encouraging your pineal gland to secrete a tiny bit of DMT. So the question, of course, is, can we do it on purpose? Well, we don't know. But the suggestions are, of course, that we attempt to do it on purpose, or that perhaps we are doing it on purpose by meditating, doing breath work, practicing sensory deprivation, intense prayer or other spiritual practice like drumming. Don't have a near-death experience just for fun, obviously. So that's what we know about DMT. I think that's really interesting and exciting. And I really hope that there's more studies going on DMT and where it's being secreted or could be being secreted in the brain and how to stimulate that, because that's just amazing. Now, is it possible that when people go into meditative states, that's already what's happening? Yeah, it is. But again, if we could harness that, if we knew how to encourage our brain to secrete more of that, could we deepen our experiences? Could we become more psychic, more in tune? Could we become better healers? Could we heal ourselves? What kind of possibilities exist out there if we could stimulate our pineal to release more DMT? All just thoughts. What we know now is that we are still trying to answer the same question that clearly our ancestors have been trying to answer for millennia. What is consciousness? Where does it come from? And how do we experience it? And then, of course, just noticing the same kind of pattern here. Right? The same kind of symbols, the same kind of focus. It's pretty fascinating, in my opinion. Worth considering. So that's what I was thinking about today, and obviously doing a little research on, but I will keep an eye. I hope that that becomes a study that someone in the noetics world really sinks into. I don't know about you guys, but I want to know. Okay. My tip this week, I just included a little guide of crystals for intuition because while we are working on our third eye, if we're working on focusing on our pineal gland, crystal gals know that some crystals are pretty awesome for helping to amp up your intuition. Amethyst, clear quartz, labradorite, lapis lazuli, and moonstone are all great intuition stones. And I know these aren't the only ones, of course, so I'm curious to know if you guys have a favorite intuition stone that is not one of the ones I listed here. Christie's energy exercise is energy breathing. So I recommend that you try this one and think about DMT. Think about your pineal gland. What's going on in your brain while doing exercises like this? Lots of crime over at True Crime Squad, per always. Lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation, of course. Yeah, and there you have it. That is Luminous this week. So hopefully you found something in there to inspire you a little bit. Lots of interesting stuff. Denise said, August Wedding has mentioned their colors and would like us to wear those colors. Interesting. Mary said she got invited to her best friend's son's wedding, and it said on the wedding attire, on wedding attire, ladies, please refrain from wearing solid colors in the shades of white, cream, ivory, coral, or peach, sunset orange, light pink, and solid pink. Floral patterns that contain these colors are perfectly fine. Gentlemen, please refrain from wearing tan, beige colored suits. Thank you in advance. Oh, good Lord. Yeah, that's awfully picky. Like, I get it. It's your wedding and you want it to be amazing, and I totally agree with that. And think people should get to have what they want. I believe that. But come on. Christy and I, oh God. Christy and I went to a wedding. So we have a cousin who, I want to start by saying, the girl's an angel. She's a sweetheart. There is no malice in her. Her parents were insane. And I really mean that. And I mean that like her parents were deeply mentally ill. Her mother has already passed. Her dad believes that he is Ringo Starr. Like, absolutely believes he's Ringo Starr. A dude was born in Utah. He's lived most of his life in Idaho. But he has a whole story about how he's the real Ringo Starr and he hired somebody to take over his role at some point when he wanted to get out of the limelight. Okay. He has legally changed his name to Ringo Starr. This cousin of ours absolutely believes that to be true. This is what she was raised to believe. She fully believes that it's true. It's wild stuff, but we weren't raised with her, but as adults got to know her a little bit, mostly online, and then she and her well then girlfriend had moved to our town, so we got to know her a little bit, and they decided to get married. Now, she had invited us to her wedding, and of course, Christy and I were more than happy to attend. It was a weekday, which was a little tough, but the reason it was is because it was on Halloween, because she wanted to get married on Halloween. She ended up extremely upset and offended because a lot of people couldn't attend because it was in the middle of a weekday. But also, there was a costume requirement. That's correct. The invitation basically said, come in a costume or don't come. And so this is at like 11 o'clock on a Tuesday, and her grandparents—they were like great aunts and uncles to us. I mean, they were in their 70s and 80s, and she was really trying to forcefully insist that everyone who was coming to her wedding had to be in costume. Christy and I came in costume. We weren't going to piss her off, not at this point. So we did come in costume. She didn't get a whole lot of other takers. Most people were just in what people here would call their church clothes or Sunday best, which would be common for people to be dressed that way. But oh my goodness, that wedding was the craziest thing I've ever seen. There was the food was all like, you know how like you'd do for Halloween, like fingers and stuff like that. People did not know what to do with this. She worked really hard, and we tried really hard to just be excited and kind and supportive. But holy moly, the people watching at that wedding was her old Mormon aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas did not know what to do with this Halloween lesbian wedding. She danced. She danced during the wedding. She did Thriller. Her whole wedding party was supposed to be doing Thriller with her, but unfortunately they refused to learn the dance because they didn't want to. So she did it herself, and oh boy. That was hard. It was such a weird spot. Like, who wants to be unkind? Like, I don't want to laugh at her and be mean to her, but oh my gosh, it was the you guys. Frankly, we couldn't get out of there fast enough. I mean, we had to get back to our store and get back to work anyway, but holy moly. I think maybe I blocked it out. Christy and I were talking about this just recently, and like, oh my God, can you even believe that happened? Because I still can't. And if you're wondering, Christy and I were dressed as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Right. Well, she was Bride of Frankenstein. And so she was kind of dressed like a zombie, kind of, in a wedding dress that she'd kind of like, torn up and made more zombie looking. And then the Thriller dance. Oh God. It was so bad. Was the wedding song the Monster Mash? It should have been. Now listen, I think that Halloween weddings are really cool and could be done really cool. This just wasn't it. No, I finally had to unfriend her on social media though, because she was a hard friend to have. I feel so bad for her, because life has been so unkind to her, and she just keeps trying. It's there are significant challenges in her life, but oh my goodness, I just could I've never seen anything like it. This wedding from hell. But honestly, if she had just not done the Thriller dance, it might have been a little different, but they are still married. Ringo Starr is still around as well. When I was a kid, I remembered my mom talking about these guys that he had actually gone to court and changed his name to Ringo Starr. And absolutely believed that's who he was, and that the whole family was pretty baffled by that. But I didn't know them until I was an adult. But whew, that's a whole deal. But anyway, that's the wildest wedding I've ever attended. But by God, I was a sport and I dressed up as the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. What an ordeal. I guess I just have weddings on the brain currently. Let's see. Pam wanted to know if I could give her a mini clearing. Absolutely. Let's do that right now. Okay, Pamela, just loosening a lot of tension and grief in your chest so I can shift that for you. And your throat. That's where everything just feels so tight, but your body feels inflamed and uncomfortable. All right, just doing a full body clearing for you. Sound therapy for you comes up really strong for me. If you have a singing bowl, maybe just sit with it and chime it for a little bit and just let that resonate through you. If not, just listen to some tones like that or drum, but some resonation kind of therapy up close to, for you, feels to me like that would be something that would help release some of the stuck stuff out of your body. Yep. I know I have two of you in my chat today who have recently lost a brother, and that it's very painful, and that you guys are struggling. So I'm very aware of that. And I'll get to all of you, I promise. Okay. Yeah, Suzanne, let's get on it. Okay, Suzanne. You really are in pretty dang good shape. A lot of this for you is collective energy. And it's kind of your energy body's moving slower than I want to see it. So I'm just giving you a quick clear, speeding everything up a little bit here. Good. All right, just clearing your aura, clearing away all that collective sludge. I think you're carrying quite a bit of that, so getting that out. I'm putting a lot of light around you. Okay, that feels really good. And the thing that comes up for me more than anything is just creative stuff for you. Writing, cooking, gardening, you know, whatever feels good. But creative stuff feels to me like that's really where your endorphins are coming from, you know? So plenty of that. All right, Jane, let's get on it. Okay. You know what that yawn tells me? That I'm moving some big, thick, heavy stuff. And I was just thinking how you guys are all in the chat saying that you're feeling like dragged down. And yeah, that's the collective. So clearing that out for you as well, Jane. Jane, you just need lots of opportunities to laugh. Whether you're watching funny stuff, reading funny stuff, spending time with funny people, whatever. But you need plenty of amusement, laughter. Good. That is better. Okay. Okay, Laura. We should have just done a big group clearing, huh? But now we're halfway done. Okay. All right, Laura, you're not sleeping well. I'm sorry. Yep, let's. You're pretty ungrounded, babe. I think your loss shook your core, your root, quite a bit. So I'm going to really straighten that out. And that, of course, keeps energy out of your crown. Or, sorry, it keeps too much energy in your crown. And that's where a lot of sleeping issues happen because you aren't grounded into your body. And all that energy in your crown is so flighty, right? It wants to move. It keeps your brain going all the time. Doesn't let you focus. Doesn't let you calm down. Good. Okay, that feels amazing. All right, so I'm just going to make sure that crown comes down. I'm going to clear out your chest. So for you, really amp up your grounding practices, whether you just do a little bit of breathing, a little bit of visualizing, whatever works for you, but really focus on that root right now. That's going to be key for you. Okay, Tara also feeling dragged down lately, so let's get on that. Okay. Yeah, Tara, you too. Collective energy here and family stuff, family chaos. And your high heart has got so many chords in it. So we're going to pull all of those. is healing those with love, and I'm going to send them back. And balance your throat. Your throat is really tight, so let's clear that out. There's a message here for you, Tara, about making sure that your physical body's getting what you need so that you can do the things you want to do. I feel like you're feeling pretty unmotivated, but it's actually, I feel like it's more physical energy that you're lacking. So make sure you're getting good sleep, nutrition, water, and addressing anything, you know, that could be preventing you from having the kind of physical energy you like to have. Yeah. Lillian said, my friend Judy, is in the hospital. It's bad, isn't it? Let's tune into her through you. You know, the first thing that comes up for me with her is how safe she is, that she has a lot of comfort around her. Yeah, it looks like it's pretty rough. Poor thing, dang it. Let's put a lot of light around her and you. Sorry you guys are going through this. But I want you to know that when I feel her, she feels warm, she feels comforted, and she feels safe. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. All right, Mary as well. Okay, Mary, let's get to you. Mary said she wonders if a lymphatic massage would help her. I feel like that's true. So long as you really go in well hydrated and hydrate really well for a couple days after, don't skip that step. But I feel like, yeah, it would help you to kind of just work the sludge out of your body. But let's give you a good clearing while we're at it, Mary. Good. Yeah, I see what you're saying though. Your whole body, your energy body's moving slow. Your body feels like it's sludgy. I would do that. I also feel like some vibrational therapy would be good for you too. So some sound therapy. Or vibration plate if you have one. Good. Okay, so that is done. Oh, Jane had a raven come visit just now. I love it. Laura said she took her first deep breath today in 3 weeks. Good. Funny, you don't know what that means till you experience it, right? I know. Do you guys know about vibration plates? Vibration plates are, thing you stand on that literally shake. So I have one because of my lymphatic issues, my lymphedema issues. So I sit with my feet on mine because I can't stand on it, but and vibrate that every day a few times because it helps to keep your lymphatics moving. And so, and you can buy them on Amazon for like, you know, $100 or less. Sherry, you have one for your legs too. Yeah, they're amazing. But from an energetic place, they're kind of amazing too. Tara has one too. Yeah. Would that help you, Pamela? It would, but you'd probably want to sit in a chair with your feet on it rather than stand on it. Now, I've used mine in a lot of ways. I've sat on it before. I've knelt in front of it and put my hands on it so that it vibrated like my arms and my shoulders and stuff. You can use it in any way you can think of, but vibration plates are pretty cool from a physical standpoint, but also from an energetic one. If you feel like your whole system is just sludgy and moving slow and you just feel stuck, vibration plate. It's pretty cool stuff. Yeah. Oh, Jane said yes, and funny, I've been thinking of getting one, yet my space is so limited. The red light therapy place has them too. Yeah, yes. Pretty interesting. Worth considering, personally. Sherry calls hers the boss hog. I love it. I'm surprised by how often mine's under my desk so that it's just here for me whenever. Because when I first wake up, especially like my lower feet and like knees and stuff, everything just feels very full. So I like to have it right under my desk so that while I'm working, I can work both legs over, both feet over. The other device I use is the lympha pump, the lymphatic pump. It's a pneumatic pump. It is these big sleeve things that go on your legs, that go clear up to your thighs, that zip you in. So they're like giant, they look like giant boots, but they're fabric. And then the pump fills them up with air and then releases it over and over and over. Kind of like when you've had surgery and they put those, they put ones that are similar that to you to prevent blood clots. It's that thing. Which one did I get? I don't know. It came from Amazon. FitPulse. FitPulse is the brand. I like that. But the lympha pump. Oh. Now that was through my insurance, but you can buy the leg squeezers like that just on Amazon for like around $100 or well less actually. I think Matea bought a pair for 50. But for sore legs, yes, ma'am. They're amazing. They feel so good on your legs. That's not medical advice. That's just, let me tell you what feels great. If you have achy legs or feet that swell or ankles that swell, yeah. The leg squeezer things are amazing. All right, well, we did it. We talked down to the end of the show. I want to remind you guys that I am a professional psychic advisor over at 12listen.com. You can find me over there every day doing readings and healings and animal communication, energy work. So many things. I will help you with anything I can. If you go over there and I'm not there and you need me, you can do a callback request or schedule a call. Also, we have a calling function, we have a chat function, which some people use a lot, and we also have email readings. So you can purchase an email reading. You can also purchase an email reading that is a video that I make and send to you so that you can watch it, so that I can speak to you and address you. So there's lots of ways to connect. So if I can help you with something, come find me over there. If it's important to you, it's important to me. So bring me your stuff. I'll do what I can to help. All right. To the best of my knowledge, I'll be back next week. Same place, same time. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you over on the lines. This has been yet another production of The Katie Weaver Show here on 12 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.